In the studio tonight with Miles Nielsen and the whole band, we have got everybody in here. We got enough room, although a little shoulder to shoulder and a lot of cables and mic stands going around, but this is going to be fun because we've been looking forward to having these guys come play for us and for you too. And the new album is live from Rockford, and it is a fun live album. Thanks, everybody, for making the side trip to come and, you know, play for us here in the studio today. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Thanks for having us.
The first question I want to get out of the way right away, and Miles, you are not the first child of a famous parent we've had in here. Adam Cohen has been here, and Ben Taylor, and the Wainwrights, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I asked this question, you guys, and I never get the same answer twice. When you follow in your famous parents' footsteps, is it nature or is it nurture? Is it because you have the chromosomes, or is it because you were brought up in the culture?
I think because I was brought up in the culture. That's my take on it. Because I think, if you're speaking about someone like a Rufus Wainwright, I think he's got the chromosomes. Yeah. You know, like he was just born with it. Yeah. I think it's something that I've definitely worked towards. Mm-hmm. And I grew up a lot of my youth was traveling with the band. So I just thought, you know, how fun is that? You know, you get to go with, you know, your best friends and travel around the country playing music. It seemed like a pretty fun job to have.
And, pretty nice career path, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, financially speaking, not the greatest of, you know, at times, you know, you really sort of have to say, I really love my job. You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of waiting around. And then, you know, you wait all day for that 90 minutes of stage time. And then that's when you have the evening to celebrate what you just did in those 90 minutes and get carried away with your friends. But it is definitely something that that I really look forward to doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't really ever dread someone saying, you're going to play a show tonight. It's like, oh, great. But, you know, it's like, well, how far is it? Well, it's a 7-hour drive. Those are the things, you know, that become all part of the deal.
Sharing a van with these guys is part of the deal then, right?
It is. Thankfully, we have a nice new van.
That's good. For those who don't know, and it's, you know, my bad for not setting this out, Miles' father is Rick Nielsen, and the band he was talking about is Cheap Trick. So, Miles has been here before, both with your father's band and with these guys. So we always welcome you back to Milwaukee for a live show.
I love Milwaukee.
I want to follow up on that a little bit, too. So you're saying you've developed your musical craft over the years. And by developing that, you could have taken your music in a number of different directions. I was wondering why you have come to where you are, being more of a singer-songwriter, Americana, AAA kind of person.
I don't know that it was a real dedicated choice to make the music that we're making. I think that it's a combination of... I'm thankful that I have, you know, the Rusted Hearts as a band. Mm-hmm. And that being said, I think we're pretty good at taking the songs that I write and making it about the song. So, you know, we have a pretty eclectic sound. You know, we go, you know, with Adam with his horns, and then we have, you know, we use 4-part harmony and with the different rhythms and just different tones that we use. I feel like we're kind of all over the map. And I think sometimes that's why people say, I don't really know how to classify your music. To me, that's a compliment to us.
I was going
to
say, that's a good thing.
Yeah, to me, that's a compliment to us as musicians, that we really just, we tailor it to the song. So, you know, and I don't think it's a conscious effort that we made to sound a certain way, but a songwriter, yeah, I've always, that's what I've been trying to hone in on, my craft of a song, you know, of writing songs, you know, for the last 15 years, really concentrating on making sense of lyrics and making sense of melody and putting it into songs that I enjoy, that I listen to, that I'm like proud of. So I think that's the direction that's just natural. It's just that suddenly we have stumbled upon this thing that people say, oh, that you guys sound like the Rusted Hearts. And we're like, well, oh, people are sounding like us now. You know, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool
I'm into
comment.
That, you know.
Well, why don't we give folks an idea of what we're talking about here with you guys have great harmonies together, which is, you know, amazing to have 4 or 5 guys that can all sing together. But we were warming up with the song Tokyo. Do you want to do that one?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, here we go.
In wide whispers drum. He said, let's head out and find ourselves fun. But why he was afraid to take her on a date. Halfway to the edge and they were flying. Yeah, the Tokyo streets have left them broken. Halfway to the edge and they were wasted. Yeah, the Tokyo streets have left them broken. And Molly, you're a mess. The time you flew by, good highs and dead eyes. A secret hidden in telephone wires. And Molly was afraid to tell those far away. Halfway to the grave and she was crying. Yeah, the Tokyo streets have left them broken. Halfway to the edge and they were wasted. Yeah, the Tokyo streets have left them broken. And Molly, you're a wreck.
Song's called Tokyo, Miles Nielsen and the Rusted Hearts. Getting back to the live album, the new one, the Live from Rockford, there is a moment on that album when you say that writing songs as an adult gives you the right to make up outrageous stories and people think it's creative art. Is that allow the eternal child in you to come out, or do you want to tackle issue-oriented stuff and social ills? Or
I would much rather stick to songs about, you know, like a song like Tokyo, which we just did, is a song that is completely fictitious, and it was made up from seeing these two people in an airport and then the story runs, and I just ran with the story in my head that they were going to go and fall in love on the plane and sit next to each other, and then they're going to go to Tokyo, they're going to fall in love, and they're going to start doing heroin, and their life's going to go down the tubes, you know? So I don't know these two people, but in my mind, that's what they went to do. You know?
You just did that. Are you kind of like an observational kind of songwriter? You'll be sitting somewhere, and you'll see something, and that'll just be the genesis of a story?
Like sitting
in a cafe or in a restaurant somewhere, and someone will say something to somebody else, and you go, give me a napkin. I got to write that down.
Yeah, I'm horribly nosy, you know, when it comes to the, you know, out, when I'm out in public, I watch people like, you know, like I'm getting paid for it. But when, you know, in turn, it does end up making me money in the long run somehow. Mm-hmm. But I do, I've been super observant since I was a kid, and I think that lends itself to some of the stories that, you know, you overhear someone say something and then you put yourself in that position or those shoes and say, oh, I wonder how this is going to play out. Well, I don't know the person to wonder or to know how it's going to play out. So I'll play it out in my mind. It's sort of a choose your own adventure book, you know, if you remember those from being a kid.
Sure. And you've shared the stage with people like Willie Nelson and Soul Asylum. I saw the sweatshirt when you walked in here. What's the difference between opening for somebody, getting your 35 to 45 minutes, or being the headliner at a bar gig or something where you play for a long time, other than the amount of beer you drink for the course of the evening?
Well, that's usually about the same. We do pretty well no matter what.
But I mean, is there a different kind of a rush that goes on when you're playing for as an opener for a bigger name or going into a smaller place as the headliner?
I think they both have equal amount of pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, the fun thing is, I know that, you know, some musicians are like, I'm not competitive, and I'm like, well, that's good, but I am. Like, I'm not going to try and, like, I'm going to be nice, and I want Cowboy Mouth to win. You know, I'm like, no, I want to go on stage and make them work harder to be better than, you know, I want to make sure that we come in and deliver a good show so it makes everybody that plays after us step up their game. And you know, vice versa, if a band plays before us and they're really good, man, we're coming out, you know, we want to come out with some fire then, you know. So I think when we support bands, it's you have this thing where it's more about the audience. It's more about trying to win the people that are, like, you know, skeptical. You can see it on their faces and their body language out front, and you're like, this guy's got his arms crossed. He's like, I'm not into this. What's this band? You know, I've never heard of them before. And then, like, there's a point in the show, hopefully you hit that point in the show where you can turn them, and then you see them kind of light up, and you see their body language change, you see them tapping their feet, or, you know, all of a sudden you're like, we're winning. We're winning these people. And that's sort of an objective that I think is maybe, you know, in the subconscious of what we're trying to do. But then when it's our show, it's a different thing. When people come out to see us, I think the pressure is not only to win them and win them every time, but I think is to keep them bringing more folks and telling more, like, you have to come see, you know, that we've gained a lot of fans that way, of people saying, you know, you have to come out. And like one guy said, I brought 6 new people tonight. Well, I want all 6 of those people to come back and bring 6 more people, you know, and just so that there's pressures either way. But I think that, you know, I do think there's a competitive side to what we do. And I think that, you know, our objective is, if we don't have fans, we don't have a band. We don't have song. We don't, you know, there's no point in writing songs. There's no point in doing what we do, you know.
I would think the toughest part as being a support act was going out there with the realization that most of these people aren't here to see us. And we've got to win them over somehow with what we're doing. And you guys do have a bit of a reputation being, you know, a fun live act. And, perhaps that was what you tried to capture on the live album, too. But it seems to be a bigger challenge to win over people who don't know who you are and aren't there to see you. And
yeah, it is, but, you know.
But when you're the headliner, you don't want the support act to be eating your lunch either. So,
right.
So it's an amazing balance, I think. And it's not easy. I just want to ask too, that giving the album the name Live in Rockford, are you trying to, you know, preserve that kind of heritage of the Nielsen family from Rockford? Keep that alive.
Well, some of it definitely is. You know, I think, probably speak for everyone, is that, you know, Rockford is definitely gets a bad rap a lot, and we all, you know, minus Adam, who lives in Appleton, Wisconsin, but we all we all live there and we all like it there. Mm-hmm. And I also thought that, you know, when Dan and I were talking about what we should call the record, it's like, well, there's this wonderful play on words that when you look at it, it could actually be live in Rockford, not live in Rockford,
sure.
You know, so take it for what, you know, however, it's like, again, it's choose your own adventure. What do you want it to be? I like to say live in Rockford because it's sort of an advertisement. Go, why don't you come and see how bad it is? Mm-hmm. And then you might actually have a really great time. You know?
Well, for years, this city had that same kind of reputation.
Right.
And I would say in the last 2 decades, it has turned 180.
Oh, Milwaukee's fantastic.
The people used to bypass this place. They'd go from Chicago to Madison to Minneapolis. Not anymore.
This is one of one of the cities that I go to when I'm not working. And I want to come up and have fun. Yeah. There's a lot of great music venues, great restaurants, you know, good bars.
Yeah, it's changed 180 in the last 2 decades.
It absolutely has.
So.
It's great.
And we appreciate you guys coming here again and again. Want to do one more song for us?
Yeah, yeah.
What
Let's
you got?
Do,
you
guys want to do Sink or Swim? How's that? Or
okay.
Do something, you know, you want something upbeat or you want something down?
Hey,
you know?
Your call.
Because I would say we could do Baby Blue, too. Why don't we do Baby Blue?
Let's do Baby Blue. Okay.
It's a little more up. I don't want to depress the listeners, you know.
Absolutely. Baby Blue, The Rusted Hearts, Miles Nielsen, thank you guys so much.
Thank you
for having us. Just awesome. And anytime you folks see these guys playing in Milwaukee, consider it a recommendation from us. Go out there and see them, because this is a great live band. Thanks again.
Thank you, Beck. Thank you. Yeah, thanks.